Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We have finished up our discussions of episodes from Hey Arnold Season 2, and our Season 2 recap is out the door as we speak, but we're not quite ready for this season to end, it turns out. So we're going to drag our feet for just a little bit longer with today's episode. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
And also, actually joining us on mic for this episode is our super producer, Jason Daphnis. Jason, it's good to finally hear your voice.
Again, don't you mean? Because I have been on episodes of this show before. Thank you for remembering me and my voice, Cody. I make a podcast called Try Love with Cody and Harry. I make another podcast called Crossfade with my friend Matt. Go listen to those. Find me on Twitter at Nintendoofus.
Just blowing up his spot right off the bat. You love to hear it. That's what a producer does. That's
no
what
prisoners,
it's all about.
Yeah.
It is, and I am unfortunately trapped in this box that super producer Jason Daphnis has created for me. I am living out the same day over and over, but some days I'm told that we're running a special end-of-season episode. Some days I'm running a completely different episode, and so thank you for shouting that out, Jason. It's very nice to live through these pains over and over with you and the rest of you. It's really great. And yeah, you can keep up with this podcast, by the way, on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. And, what's that, Mr. Elephant? Ah, yes, of course. Mr. Elephant says to remember, that's kids with a Z. This is unhinged already. So yeah, with this extra special unhinged panel of comrades, I figured it'd be nice to unwind from the toils of this relatively short and not very stressful season, honestly, with something of a palate cleanser going into the break. So we're going to be engaging in some very light but hopefully very fun competition with an exercise I'll go ahead and call Hey Trivi Arnold. Hey Trivi Arnold.
Wow. This is among your best work, Cody.
That is way, way too kind.
Should we talk about some of Cody's other work? I feel like we should introduce
I don't know if we have to do that.
Well, speaking of Try Love, as Jason so kindly pointed out, Cody does a segment on Try Love every episode called... Jason, would you like to join me for it? Cody's Noties.
Cody's Noties.
And so this is sort of bringing Cody's Noties to Stoop Kids, which we're all very excited about because it is unequivocally the best part of the other podcast we do, which means it'll probably be the best part of this podcast as well. Cody, go ahead and take us off.
Oh, crawling back out of my box, and I've been doing just fine. Anyways, thank you. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask y'all a series of questions pertaining to our favorite nostalgic animated program. The questions, so they may directly relate to Hey Arnold, or they may relate specifically to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Quite frankly, I don't even know what's going to come out of my mouth. So theoretically, what will happen is I'll read off a question after each statement. I will ask y'all in alphabetical by first name order to respond. There might be some nice waiting and thinking music that we shoot in, or rather that our super producer shoots in. So again, alphabetical by first name order. We'll collect responses. You'll get a point for every correct answer, or I should say closest to the correct answer as well in some cases. And the person with the most points at the end of this will win. And I should say, and fellow Twin Cities residents out there, you'll understand this one as well, hopefully. Trivia Mafia rules apply here in this game, which is to say, use your noodles, not your Googles. No outside resources, you goobers. With that, let's go ahead and jump in. And I should say, for anybody listening at home, feel free to play along. Let us know how you fare, if you fared better or worse than us, especially if you fared better than our contestants here.
Oh, no,
I'm sure
Cody.
Jason will definitely want to know about it.
They're going to do so much better than me, Cody.
You have already cursed us. Why would you do this?
Oh, man.
This is for engagement. for engagement.
It's all for engagement.
All for engagement, all for the content. First off, we're going to start off here pretty directly and simply as this cat is sharpening her claws in the background. So here's the question. How old was Hey Arnold show author Craig Bartlett when episode 101 of Hey Arnold originally aired? And for the purposes here of just being extra clear, episode 101 is the production code, and that's for Downtown is Fruits, Eugene's Bike. So that episode. How old was Craig Bartlett when episode 101 of Hey Arnold originally aired? Give us some time to think about it. Jason, hit it. I don't know how long that loop goes, so I'm going to
Whole song. You got to cut it off, yeah.
Okay, well, here, I'll cut it off there then. we're live. All right, so Emily first. What is your guess for Craig Bartlett's age during episode 101's premiere?
Yeah, this is a really good question to start with. So can I talk through what I'm thinking?
Please do. That'll help me as well.
I don't want to help the others too much, but for the listeners listening, I'm thinking about how Craig was at, I believe, Olympia. So he would have been out of college, and then he was working in Portland for a while before starting Pee-wee's stuff, and then did, so he's probably, 23, 24 maybe during Pee-wee's, which puts him at, during the Nick era, I want to say, I'm going to add a few years in as a buffer. I'll say he was 27 when the first episode aired.
All right. I got 27 locked in, etched in concrete for Emily. And I will pivot now to Harry. Harry, treat us to your thought process.
Sure.
If you want.
I have a question, which is just for my own pain. Did Craig Bartlett actually tell us this explicitly in the episode that we did with him? Did he say the age?
Genuinely, not that I know.
Okay, thank God, because I would have felt asshole.
That's not how I stumbled across. This is not a trick everybody and shame everybody. And how well did you pay attention when we were all in a certain headspace when the legend was
that's a way to
blessing
put it.
Us with his presence?
Yeah, so I think that Craig Bartlett is, I want to say he's 4 years younger than my dad, which means I think he would have been 32 when the first episode came out, I'm hoping. So that's my answer, and I'm sticking with it.
Okay, 32 for Harry. And finally, Mr. Super Producer, what do you think?
I'm splitting the difference. I'm calling it 29.
29, feeling pretty fine.
This is what Jason does, by the way, in Cody's Noties, too, is he games the system.
I'm always the middle ground.
Unless he is first, because his last name does begin with a D, which means if we go by alphabetical by last name order, generally he has to sort of like put his foot down, but that's not happening this time, which is probably
the worst part of my life.
It's probably a good handicap for someone who's only a producer, not actually a star, if you will, of the program.
Big talking for the man across the table from the man with the soundboard.
Yowza.
That's a really good point. I did not think about that.
Beware. Also, pulling back the curtain even further, when we do this on the other podcast that we do, we haven't been on video during this, so I at most only have to disguise my voice, but since we're doing this on video, that the public is it will not see, it's behind the other ironclad curtain that's behind the one that I've pulled back, so now I have to put on a bit of a poker face, which to hide it, so that'll be a fun little challenge. I don't know why I'm vamping so much. So the answer to this question. So we've got our guesses in. Craig Bartlett was allegedly born on October 18th, and I'm sorry to dox you, Craig, 1956. And the original air date for episode 101 was reportedly October 7th, 1996, which puts him at 39 years young.
He's 4 years older than my dad. He looks great. Wow, he looks good.
Which is to say, and I'm really glad this question went the way it did, because all that is to say, Craig looks phenomenal. And Harry came away with the point, for what it's worth.
Oh, that's cool.
Like a secondary priority.
All right, sweet.
Well, because you were closest, right? It's, yeah,
yeah, it's, but I still got it wrong. I said 4 years younger. He's 4 years older. That's cool. No offense to my dad.
Would this be Price's? Would this be Price's Right rules, where you can just say zero, or you bust?
I mean, you can certainly say zero in situations where it warrants it. Not quite this one. I think on trial we've had those types of guesses, knowing full well that Price's Right rules are not in effect. That being said, that strategy is certainly valid if you think everybody guessed high and Craig, you know, was like a sprightly 13-year-old when the episode dropped, which, talking about Wunderkinds, Francesca Marie Smith, watch out. Anyways, Harry came away with the point. He's got a commanding lead at 1-0-0. It's a long game, folks. We'll see what happens here. For question two, I'm actually going to rope in some of the pieces of data that we've been collecting in the background, or I guess I've been collecting in the background, and haven't really used all that much. And that's, of course, the episode writer credits. So cumulatively, that's a tough one. For seasons one and two, I'm just going to shout out Steve Vixton. So Steve Vixton, he has the most writing credits of anyone on the show's staff. And these credits, I should say, don't include the sort of developer credits that he, Bartlett, and Joe and Solibert get for every single episode. This is not including those, just straight up writer credits. And what I need to know from each of y'all is I'm looking for a percentage, specifically the percentage of season one and two episodes that Steve Vixton got writing credit for. And then the closest to the correct guess gets a point. And so, to maybe rephrase it in a less complicated way, what percentage of season one and two episodes of Hey Arnold does Steve Vixton have a writing credit for? Jason, hit it. Grooving right along to Groove Remote. Awesome. And I hope you are too, dear listener. And we're back. And I'm here to collect...
your cats.
She's right here. She wants to venture a guess too. But she won't. But I will collect a guess first from Emily. Emily, what guess would you like to put forth? Again, as a percentage.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw out the number 36%.
36%. Perfect. I've got that locked in. Next, over to Harry. Harry, what do you think?
Strong guess, Emily. We've got some competitors tonight. I'm a little bit worried about it. I'm going to go with 1 of 4. So 25% seems all right.
25% says Harry. And Jason, what you got?
Your vamping about how much he's credited as the writer leads me to want to say way too much. Like, I want to say like 70%, but I'm not. That's not my vote. That's not my guess. I formally strike that from the record. My guess is
he's going to say 37%.
Oh, well, no,
47%. 47% says Jason. All right. So Steve Vixton. Hey, Steve, if you're listening, Mr. Vixton, apologies. He has credit for writing or co-writing 26 episodes of Hey Arnold of the first two seasons, which out of 40 episodes so far brings us a percentage of 65%. 65%.
Holy shit. That's wild.
And yeah, and Jason comes away with the point. He was closest. So that's, hey.
I should have a sound effect for when I win and not play it when anybody else wins.
Sure.
I was almost waiting for a sound effect. You don't have to if you don't want to.
All I've got is a boxing bell. It sounds too weird in this context.
Boxing bell's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, unless like the next time Harry pops off after getting a point and like it directs it at you, you can go ding ding.
Sure.
I'm going to do that.
Well, I don't think I'm going to do that. Sorry, go ahead, Emily.
I wonder if Steve Vixton knows that percentage of how many episodes he wrote of season one and two. That's
really good.
That's a good question.
Such a specific question. And if he's listening, now he knows.
And if he's listening,
now he knows.
Steve, come on the pod.
Also,
keep talking.
Come on the pod.
Keep talking.
Steve, come on the pod.
The thing
bring
that
all
bothers
your friends.
Me about that question is, or the thing that that's screwed with me is that even though I knew in my head to like consider co-writing credits, I think I just included it like single writing credits, right? But if I remember right, Steve Vixton is co-writer on a lot of episodes, which is really what brought up the numbers.
So much so that I know Cody specifically says, you know, shouting out the fine folks. And if there's some modifier you do where it's like not the usual or something, like you give an extra flair to when it's not Steve Vixton or Joanne Salibert, and Salibert. And that is what was ringing in my mind when I guessed that number, and I didn't want to go too high. I turned out I was going too low.
Look, that turns out that is the power of the producer, right? Is that you've heard that so many times because you've been editing the episodes. So
that is true.
Kind of a
that
strategic advantage when you think about it.
So you pretend like you haven't heard this probably 50 times at this point either.
I'm just saying if you win this, there will be an asterisk on the trophy next to your name for that.
Okay. I think all of us here in some facets have been learning via osmosis, Jones. I think all that is that's irrefutable. And actually, moving to question three, it's actually similar to that last question. I still want to talk a little bit about show credits, but this time about the show's directors. So what I'm going to do is list three of the fine folks, the aforementioned fine folks, who make, rather frequently made episodes from seasons one and two of Hey Arnold possible. And what I'll need y'all to do is pick out which of them has the most directing credits cumulatively between seasons one and two. And it feels right to put in a disclaimer to anyone who may be listening, including and especially a certain author or creator of, you know, the work that we may or may not be discussing. The internet is an extremely imperfect place, and public records about these sort of show credits are equally, if not more so, imperfect. These figures are self-collected, unauthorized, unofficial, and verified, and the best of my very meager efforts. So that being said, with all that out of the way, which of these three individuals that I'm about to list has directed the most season one and two episodes of Hey Arnold? We've got Tuck Tucker, Dan Povenmire, and Julie Murphy Hashiguchi. Those are the three. Who has directed the most? Jason, hit it. Oh yeah, we're here. We're wild and respectfully to the grooves of Groove Remote. Shout out to Jim Lang. All right. So again, for those at home coming back from the commercial break, between Tuck Tucker, Dan Povenmire, and Julie Murphy Hashiguchi, we want to know who has directed the most season one and two episodes of Hey Arnold. And I will ask Emily first. Emily, who do you think?
Can you say again who the second person was?
Yeah, that would be Dan Povenmire.
Okay. I'm going to go with Tuck Tucker. And may he rest in power. He was amazing.
Shoutouts to Tuck. All right, Tuck Tucker. Got him etched in that same slab of concrete. Harry, what do you think for this one?
I'm doing that thing. In education, they say that you should never change your answer because that thing with the doors. Do you remember what I'm talking about? There's that fallacy of where if you change your answer, you actually have a lower percentage to get it right because of math. You're the stat major.
I think this is quantum physics.
Sure. Yeah, it's basically quantum physics. I'm very smart. You said that. I think that I'm going to stick with Tuck Tucker, but I'm very, very worried that because I think that it's going to be Dan Povenmire, excuse me. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Dan Povenmire.
I'm very
smart.
Yeah,
you got it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we all said it and saw it and believe it. And before I dig myself a further grave, I'm going to look to Jason for his guess.
Well, here I am, just waiting for you to call on me. Did we ever rant about how cool a name Tuck Tucker is? Like, what a freaking imagine that up in lights. Imagine that on a movie marquee. That's an incredible name. I did not know that he had passed, but that's unfortunate. I'm going to say Dan Povenmire. Something in my gut tells me it's Danny Boy.
Sweet Danny Boy. All right. And I wrote Sweet Danny Boy. Sweet Danny Boy, come on the pod also. Locked him in for Jason. The correct answer here is, of course, a Tuck Tucker. A1. I can't remember if I gave them certain codes. Yeah, it's Tuck Tucker. He has had 15 director credits for the first two seasons of Hey Arnold. Again, going by our best guesses at self-collection. Dan Povenmire and Julie Murphy Hashiguchi have 13 credits apiece. Also, just because we're shouting out everybody in the world, also shouting out, I think, proper shout-outs are in order for Jamie Mitchell, Larry Leaklighter, Steve Saki, folks like them who undoubtedly did a lot of directorial work and other work as well on the show. Many of their credits, though, came in the form of supervising director. And during my unofficial collection of these, that seems to be the flimsiest title as far as like accuracy goes. So I didn't include them as options in this particular, you know, question. Regardless, I'm sure they were hugely instrumental to the show's success, regardless of how accurate or inaccurate, you know, IMDb and Wikipedia are. Whew, that was a mouthful. Great work, everybody. Everybody's on the board. We've got Emily and Jason with 1 point apiece, and Harry with a point total of 2.
Oh, he hates saying it. You can hear it in his voice. Shout outs to quantum physics.
Well, all the talk of quantum physics made me tongue-tied and brain-tied and things like that. Well, congratulations. We're halfway through the questions. And, congrats to you, dear listener. You've made it halfway through the wilderness. There's a song like that or something. For number 4, I thought we'd highlight actually Mickey Kaline back from season 1's The Baseball. And my question for you all, I'm going to list 3 sort of factoids about Mickey Kaline, and what I ask of you is to give me the one of them that is incorrect. So I'm going to list the 3 here. We've got, for the first one, Mickey Kaline married his high school sweetheart, Shirley. Second, he wears a size 13 shoe. And the third one, he hit 533 home runs in his career. So we want to know which one of those, you know, little facts is incorrect about Mickey Kaline. Jason Daphnis, cue the theme. I almost don't want to jump back in until that guy's had a chance to say his
piece. I really thought
piece.
That was like the cutoff point we were doing until that last question. I was like, I know what Jason's doing. He's waiting for the guy that goes, hey.
I wonder if that's Jim Lang himself or if there was a vocalist on
I
that
hope
track.
So.
Now, now there's a good interview question. 2022, please be kind to us. All right. So in case anybody's forgotten, we want to know which of those 3 facts about Mickey Kaline is incorrect. Emily, what's your gut telling you for this one?
Yeah, my gut is telling me that the one about his shoe size is not a thing in the episode. I'm remembering a different kid's thing. I think it's holes where there's like shoes are a big thing for one of the athletes, famous athletes in it. But I don't think that's a thing for Mickey Kaline. So I'm going to go with the one about his shoe size.
Man, I love the holes deep cut or deep dig because shovels and digging in holes. All right, excellent. I've got the second one, the shoe size locked in. Harry, what guess would you like to lock in forever?
Yeah, to sort of peek behind the curtain a little bit, I know what Cody's up to here. I know that he's a real numbers guy, and he loves to be screwy with the numbers. So it's like that last one, the 533 homers, it probably is something really tricky, like it was actually 531 homers or something like that. So I'm calling my shot, much like Babe Ruth, baseball reference. That one's for you, Cody. And I'm going to go with the home runs answer. Thank you.
Babe Ruth. All right. Excellent. So the home run one is the one that we are locking in for Harry. And now an interesting sort of meta question enters the fold as we turn to look at Jason. You know, does Jason cover the spread? Does he side with one of the guesses that has already been put out there? I'm interested to hear what you think about this one, Jason.
I'm tempted to cover the spread to be the centrist that I was born to be, but sincerely, it's the size 13 shoe, Guess. I do not remember that being part of his backstory. I remember vaguely something about his childhood sweetheart. I remember vaguely them mentioning his home runs. I do not remember anything. And I agree with Harry. This is almost certainly going to be a question that screws me out of a point because Cody's going to say, no, it was actually 529 or whatever, but it's...
Well, but it could also be size 14 shoes or something. Like, could go either way.
It could be anything. But I'm going to go size 13 shoe as well.
Size 13 shoe. All right. So thank you for your guesses. And thank you for the glimpses behind each of y'all's respective curtains. I like it, even if nobody else, I'm sure our listeners do as well. And I'd be curious to hear how they approach this question, because the correct answer here is, in fact, C, the one about home runs. So the tricky thing here, so there's a moment in the episode where Arnold's just spitting all these facts out. Not high school sweetheart, surely. Size 13 shoe does get mentioned. 299 lifetime average, 533 home runs. All of those read verbatim as they were spoken by me. The thing is, he says that bit about the home runs before Mickey Kaline hits that home run later in the episode.
No, it's 534. You trickster.
So it's okay. Like theoretically, you know, 534. We also don't know. I mean, if Arnold's looking at a baseball card, he's maybe not taking that like current season's homers into consideration. He doesn't have access to like baseballreference.com like us, you know, millennials, etc. do. Lots to consider, lots to unpack. But Harry does come away with the point there. I activated my trap card, but he activated his, you know, counter trap card. It's been a while since I played Yu-Gi-Oh.
That's how Harry now is counter trap cards. You're right.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Palmerization. Harry has 3 points. Emily and Jason have 1 point apiece. We've got a couple more questions on the docket here. This is still, and I cannot reiterate this enough, this is still anyone's game. So for number five, I thought, you know, twist my arm, I thought we'd spend some time with Lacey Chabert, who voiced Ruth P. McDougal in 2 episodes, I believe, that we've covered. And she, for those unawares, she perhaps most notably played the character Gretchen Wieners in 2004's Mean Girls. I hope to God it's pronounced Wieners. So my question for y'all, I'm going to list three works of fiction. And what I want to know from y'all is which one of those three was Lacey Chabert not involved in? Which one did she not work on at all? So we've got Courage the Cowardly Dog. We've got Family Guy. And we've got, I don't know how to pronounce this. Real Monsters. So those are the three. And I need to know which one of those has she not worked on ever. The other two she has. Jason, spin it. I still can't get the timing right, but it's so good. All right. Thank you for tuning back in and for deliberating by yourselves. We've come together to collect guesses, and I will start with Emily. Emily, which of those do you think Lacey Chabert has never worked on before in her life?
In her life? I'm thinking about how Courage and Real Monsters are the most similar vibes-wise. But if she was in Mean Girls, that is a more recent thing, which Family Guy is more recent too. So then I wanted to say Family Guy, but I'm going to say Real Monsters, the oldest one of the bunch.
Real Monsters. And since you pronounced it that way, I'm going to put less emphasis on the ah. That is much less of a burden on my throat and my tum-tum. So Real Monsters is the guess that is locked in. Harry, what would you like to guess on this fine question?
Yeah, my thinking mirrors Emily's in a lot of way. Also, I seem to recall that All Real Monsters and Courage the Cowardly Dog came out at similar times, or more similar than Family Guy at least, but I'm not totally sure. I think I'm going to go with Courage the Cowardly Dog because in all of the episodes of that I've seen, which is not all of them, there are like three characters and the only female character is like an old lady. So I'm thinking that maybe there isn't a character there for her to guess. So that's or for her to speak as. Whereas Family Guy has 10,000 guest stars and stuff. So maybe that's one of them is her. So that's my thought.
A good thought it is. I've got Harry locked in for Courage the Cowardly Dog. And again, it falls to you, Jason. Cover the spread, follow your heart. Por que no los dos? What do you think?
Just to clarify, the show is called and pronounced Real Monsters, just so that we're all on the same page about that.
No, it's more of an Real Monsters.
Real Monsters. I think there are different, depending on the dialect, there are a lot of different correct responses.
Real Monstars. That's a Space Jam reference for you.
That is, whatever we set, whatever precedent we set, we need to apply to Hey Arnold as well. So every time we say Hey Arnold, we need to like shriek Hey or whatever, just like Hey Arnold.
What if it was just like sort of a clarification? What if it was like Real Monsters?
yes, the real ones. I am going to guess Courage the Cowardly Dog because while I know that I could not pinpoint her voice based on any of this, I feel like that is just such a bizarre, like Harry said, like such a sparse cast, like one-off guests and like the Flan guy and the Undertaker and all these weird characters. I don't know where she would have fit in any of that, like a bright, cheery young lady's voice. I just don't know. Era-wise, I'm not chalking any of that up to like my recollection of when these things happened because I don't. My childhood blurs into like just one big memory for me. Everything between the ages of 10, like 0 and 12 just is one thought in my mind. So I'm not going to say like, oh, it came before. I don't have any smart things to say about it like Emily where it's like, oh, Aria Monsters came before Courage the Cowardly Dog. So that is why I don't have any of that. I'm going to say Courage the Cowardly Dog, which, hey, now I'm rekindling my own love for Courage the Cowardly Dog. Maybe we'll get
Courage the Cowardly Podcast.
Pod? Yeah, I'm trying to figure out a fun way to say that. There's no fun way to say that.
We definitely have to do a special cartoons episode of just like all of the 90s/2000s cartoons.
That sounds so fun. Oh my God.
Courage the Cowardly Pod and Chicken.
Also, before we hear the answer, I'm realizing Miriam is the older woman, the elderly woman in Courage. Right? And Muriel. There's a Muriel and a Miriam.
Muriel.
There's a cross over there almost for the Patakis. Goodness.
This could throw me off completely. I wish I hadn't voted now. This is my guess. Courage the Cowardly Dog. Thank you, Cody.
Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Good night.
Sure. Thank you for your guesses concerning the life and times of the voice of Eliza Thornberry, Lacey Chabert. We've got a correct answer here, and the correct answer is Courage the Cowardly Dog. Well thought out,
yes.
Everybody.
Yes.
All Real Monsters, I don't have a specific characters to attach her voice to. She voiced a few nameless characters per the internet movie database. And with Family Guy, once I saw this, I was like, oh, duh. But before Mila Kunis came along, Lacey Chabert was the voice of Meg.
Whoa.
Oh, that's wild.
I never knew that.
Let that one sit. Yeah. So that's,
I won't let that sit. I'm going to pick that up and play with it. That's so strange.
Well, you don't have to do that. And don't do that with your fingers on camera. But just like mic drops. She was the voice of Meg.
Yeah, that's where the episode should have ended.
Yeah. But unfortunately, we did not end on an even number of 5. I guess 6 is an even number by definition, so ending on that will be still melodic in its own way. But just to recap scores really quick, so Harry and Jason both picked up a point. Harry's at 4, Jason's at 2, Emily's at 1. This game is still very much up for grabs. Cannot emphasize this enough.
He's not just saying that though, because the last Cody's Notice question is always like a big grab bag of a bunch of points. It's sort of like the bonus stars in Mario Party. So it's very possible that somebody could still run away with this.
Oh, Miriam,
yeah. Although I'm dead last right now, I'm proud that I have at least 1 point because I was thinking this would be more like the Trilove Cody's Notice I was on, which was. I was 0 for 5, I think, in that one.
To be fair, I think the But I'm a Cheerleader. We all got our ass handed to us during that one, right?
That was the But I'm a Cheerleader cast.
Yeah, that one wasn't much worse than we usually get. It's usually very rough. always fun, incredibly rough. I think our other co-host, Aaron, literally threatened to mail Cody arsenic. Was it arsenic?
Because I think it was anthrax.
Anthrax. Because of a question.
Keeping with
got
the nostalgia
wrong.
Of this podcast, it was anthrax.
Anyway, can we get a scoreboard real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. So to recap here, we've got Harry with 4 points, Jason with 2, Emily with 1. We've got our final question here. It's question number 6. Buckle up, little freaks. That's another crossover thing. But what I'd like for us to do is rank 4 episodes of Hey Arnold. And what we're going to be ranking them in the order of is by your best estimations from highest to lowest IMDb star ranking. That's right. IMDb makes its vengeful return. again, you'll be ranking these episodes, the 4 episodes that I will list momentarily, in what your guess is of the highest sort of fan score to lowest. And you'll get a point for each correctly slotted episode in that list. And so there are 4 episodes. So if you get the order perfectly correct, you'll get 4 points. If you get 2 of them slotted correctly in the list, you'll get 2 points, etc. With that, I will I'll list the episodes here, and then we'll let Groove Remote play a little bit longer. How about that? So just to give everybody extra time, but the 4 that you'll be ranking again from highest IMDb score to lowest are: we've got first Arnold's Hat, Stoop Kid. Second, we've got Monkey Business, Big Caesar. Third, we've got Steely Phil, Quantity Time. And finally, we've got Eugene Goes Bad, What's Opera Arnold? So those are the 4 episodes we're ranking in what you anticipate is highest IMDb episode score to lowest. And cue that groovy remote. I'm gonna float my voice back in here, and I'm gonna recap what the 4 episodes are. We've got Arnold's Hat, Stoop Kid, Monkey Business, Big Caesar, Steely Phil, Quantity Time, and Eugene Goes Bad, What's Opera Arnold? And no need to say the full thing. If you just say the opera one, I'll know what one you're talking about. What do we think? Do we need more time? Do we need to groove with the remote a little bit more? How are we feeling, Emily?
Well, I just wing everything I do for this podcast, so I will just be winging it on the mic right now.
I love it.
So thinking through this, I had to write them down because my memory is so trash. But Arnold's Hat and Stoop Kid, that's season 1. The rest are season 2. Arnold's Hat and Stoop Kid are like legendary fan-beloved episodes, so I have to think that would be the first one. And now I'm trying to figure out the ranking of these season 2 ones, which... we love all of these ones, but I'm wondering what the general IMDb population thinks.
Yeah, the creeps and cretins who scour the floors of the Internet Movie Database. That's what they sound like.
I honestly, now that I'm looking at them, I wrote them in order, the order you gave us. I think they're probably in that order, or that's how I'm feeling. With Monkey Business, you have Monkey Nucleosis, which is also legendary, I think. Steely Phil and Quantity Time, less memorable. Or, you know, if you just... yeah, I'm trying to think. And Eugene Goes Bad, What's Opera Arnold, though, is a musical episode. Crap. Maybe... okay, I'm going to switch those two. So I'll do Arnold's Hat, Stoop Kid 1, Monkey Business, Big Caesar 2, Eugene Goes Bad, What's Opera Arnold 3, and Steely Phil, Quantity Time 4.
From Roger, Roger.
Highest ranking to lowest.
Highest to lowest. Okay, perfect. And just for my own, because I'm like you and I need to write certain things down, so just to make sure I transcribe these correctly, we've got your order of Arnold's Hat, Stoop Kid, Monkey Business, Big Caesar, Eugene Goes Bad, What's Opera Arnold, and Steely Phil, Quantity Time. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Roger that. All right. Got those locked in. Thank you, Emily. Over to Harry, who's pulled all of his hair out at this point. Harry, what do you think about this one?
They'll have to start calling me Baldy. Hey. Well, thank you, first of all, to Emily. Oh. So I'm really sad or sorry to you guys that I didn't go first, because for some reason my brain short-circuited and I was like, oh, IMDb, that's the same as Rotten Tomatoes, and they are all contemporary critic reviews. And so like my listing was like all screwed up for that, but Emily set me straight, so I very quickly changed my answers. Thank you, Emily, / sorry to exploit the nature of this thing. But I agree with Emily. I think that Arnold's Hat and Stoop Kid is going to be the number one episode, because Stoop Kid is like maybe the thing that's most talked about on about Hey Arnold. I think the opera episode is number two, because that one is also very famous and like memorable and often brought up. I want to say number three is Monkey Business and Big Caesar. And then the last one, even though I think it's a fantastic episode, is maybe Steely Phil in Quantity Time, just because that doesn't have as many sort of like iconic, memorable moments, even though it's, you know, still really good. So that's what I think. Do you want me to say it again?
Gotcha. No, I'll read them off. But yeah, thank you for that. We've got for you, and correct me if any of this is wrong, we've got Arnold's Hat, Stoop Kid, Eugene Goes Bad, What's Opera Arnold, Monkey Business, Big Caesar, and Steely Phil, Quantity Time. Is that right?
Yep, that's all right. Thank you.
Gotcha. Whoops. Hit that microphone. All right. Excellent. All right. And it all comes down to this. It's all been leading up to this. Jason, let's hear it.
I could get used to this. First, I want to say, Emily, you said that you were going to wing it, and then you like went through a deliberative process to actually like think about it critically. So don't sell yourself short. I didn't put this much thought into it. I went because I have a famously bad track record with statistics and numbers and percentages, etc. I mean, the only time that I got it right was when I guessed here. So I'm guessing, based on this one, it would be very funny if Arnold's Hat / Stoop Kid is not number one, because all of us are pretty confident it's number one, but you never know. Those denizens on the sea floor of the internet over at IMDb. I mean, IMDb. Yeah.
IMDb.
Oh, no. Oh, I thought you were Cody, like, nefariously laughing, like, aha, I got you, because it's not number one. Anyway, vote number one, Eugene's Hat, Stoop Kid. And then I voted by how much I enjoy you guys' conversations around the other episodes. I really enjoy your conversations around Steely Phil and Quantity Time. So that's number two. Three would be Eugene Goes Bad, What's Opera? And then fourth would be Monkey Business, Big Caesar. All banger episodes, all wonderful discussions, but I just have to, you know, you stratify things in your mind. So that's where it lands up for me. Just one more time. Arnold's Hat, Steely Phil, Eugene Goes Bad, Monkey Business.
Roger that. Okay, excellent. I know how this ends. I think that's a Devotchka song from the Little Miss Sunshine soundtrack. How it ends, how this ends. I'm sure we don't have copyright for that, so we will not be playing that at any point this episode, as great of a song that is. But and I'm vamping a little bit for no reason. Again, I don't want this season to end. Y'all, season two was so much fun. This episode, and hearing y'all think about these processes and talk about the show, hearing that out loud has been a whole lot of fun. I've got the final tabulations here, and what I'm going to do is read off the correct order. The empirically correct order as of last night of IMDb episode ratings of these four from highest to lowest. First, with a rating of 8.2, and that's out of 10 stars. 8.2, we've got Arnold's Hat, Stoop Kid. So that's, that's everybody got that one.
It's a lock, baby.
next up down the line with a rating of 7.9, we've got Eugene Goes Bad, What's Opera Arnold. So that's number two. At number three, with a rating of, I'll do this just so that the next two have ratings of 7.6 and 7.4, respectfully. The rating of 7.6 goes to Monkey Business, Big Caesar, and Steely Phil, Quantity Time, rounds out the top four. The final scores for Hey Trivia Arnold are as follows. Assuming my arithmetic is correct, Emily and Jason both ended up with 3 points total for the game apiece. And Harry almost runs the full gauntlet, folks. He ends up with 8 ding-dong points. He's got the Trivi Arnold crown. The deflated football has been bestowed upon his head, which is not football shaped. Harry, the floor is yours. Would you like to pop off any more so that Jason can put in any Randy sound effects?
You know, you were all here with me for all of it. Listeners, this victory belongs to you. Fans, you can look for a picture of a very excited, jubilant Curly wearing a crown on our Twitter when this episode drops. Cody, what question did I miss again?
The one that will haunt you forever. It is the Steve Vixton percentage.
Yeah, I got that real wrong. Okay.
And I stole that from him, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yes.
So really, that's
that's so gratifying. Producers, I finally got one over on Mackin.
Thank you, Cody. That was so much fun, and season two was amazing. I'm really, really looking forward to season three.
As am I. That was Trivi Arnold. Hey, Trivi Arnold. Hey, Trivi Arnold. Its full name is Hey, Trivi Arnold. It's a working name. And this has been season two of Stoop Kids. We've got season three just on the horizon here, so stay tuned for that. We will be taking a bit of a break between seasons, kind of like what we did for seasons one and two, just to catch our breath, to start building out a recording schedule and putting together a little bank of episodes to go on some extended staycations because the world is a messed up place, etc., etc. So that being said, be on the lookout in the near future for an announcement as to when we will return to kick off season three. Rest assured, it's going to be a really good time. But for now, thank you so much for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. That's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis. Hey, Jason. But I've been Cody Narveson. You can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mackin. You can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
Congrats, champion Harry, and thank you, Cody, for putting this together. I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
To everybody listening, get vaccinated, get boosted, wear a mask. We wouldn't want anyone catching monkey nucleosis now, would we? Sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied because we've got Emily on camera now. What up? Ow!
This is just for y'all.
We can cut that if we want to, or not. I know our producer and what he's
You know me well.
Yeah.